the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
We've made it to hour number four of Sports Talk with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. The program today brought to you by Body Armor. And Jimmy is set up at Food City on Loves Creek Road. And it's your opportunity. You've got a little less than an hour, but still go by. You can find out the keyword to text in to 68683. And you could be one of two qualifiers from today's registration for the Big Ticket 2020 as presented by Food City. We give away the grand prize next week. And in regards to Body Armor, what a fantastic partner they've been with us through the years, and we've seen them grow from just being one, a fantastic alternative to the sports drink industry, and coming at you with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and coconut water to hydrate you while you work on your game. And they've gone from their initial outlay of their fantastic beverage to the light portion of their line of products and even the Body Armor water, so we've seen them grow before our very eyes. But if you buy any Body Armor product using your Food City Value card, you'll be entered automatically for a chance to win a Body Armor Blaney golf cart. That's what the grand prize winner will get, a custom golf cart, and all winners will be announced September 18th at the Food City 300 race. So you should stock up on Body Armor today, right, Jimmy Hyams?
That's exactly right, and I've seen a couple of people walk by with Body Armor in their carts, and they held it up to show it to me to make sure I knew that they bought Body Armor.
Very nice. So you can take care of that and get registered for the Big Ticket, all at Food City, where Jimmy Hyams is set up, 2712 Loves Creek Road. That's right over there, Jimmy, where Knoxville Center and everything is set up.
Yes, and it's if you're familiar with this area, it's on the opposite side of Home Depot and Lowe's. So you would come in that direction. They've got a Taco Bell over in this area. There's an Arby's. There's the Walmart, there's a McDonald's all on this side, but just come by. If you're at that intersection, just make sure you come in that direction. And from the 640 intersection, you probably go maybe at most half a mile, and you will see us on the left as you head in this direction.
Yeah, it's the east end of 640. But get on out there because you have to get that text in to 68683 before 7 o'clock. But right, and we look forward to catching up with Mark Pankratz here before too much longer. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6.
We're giving away a $50 gift certificate to 865 Axe Throwing. Of course, when you after you finish Axe Throwing, you want some Body Armor, right? But 865 Axe Throwing, $50 gift card there. This is a situation for it might be a unique date night. It might be a fun scout group outing or a team building retreat. $50 gift card, 865 Axe Throwing is yours if you can answer this trivia question. I saw where the draft wire is projecting that Trey Smith and Cade Mays will be first-round picks. Here's the question. Name the last two Tennessee linemen, either offensive or defensive linemen, that were taken in the first round of the NFL draft. Name the last two linemen from the Tennessee, could be an offensive lineman or defensive lineman, taken in the first round of the NFL draft.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Jeff. You're up first. Hello, Jeff.
Gee, thanks, guys.
Well, you called first.
Okay, I'm pretty sure Juwan James is going to be one of them. And Derek Barnett.
God, I really hate that you went first. Doggone it, Jeff. That's it. Derek Barnett and Juwan James. Yes, sir, right out of the gate. Jeff nails it. One and done. But you're not from Kentucky. Juwan James... Derek Barnett. Barnett was a first-round pick 2017, and Juwan James a first-round pick in 2014. I was going to say who were the last two offensive linemen taken in the first round, but then it was Juwan James, and then you had to go back to like the 1990s when it was McCray and Davis. I didn't want to do that to you. Hey, but you nailed it, Jeff. You win a $50 certificate to 865 Axe Throwing, which is located at 5821 Babele Road in Knoxville. Congratulations to you. We're going to put you on hold and get that gift certificate to you. Good job.
Thank you, fellas.
Yeah, that was beyond impressive. So, goodness gracious. He just, at first he gave himself no shot, and then he just, bam, from deep. That was impressive.
Yeah, it really was. That was a good job. And you try to be somewhat creative, I guess, sometimes with these trivia questions, but I didn't think the first one out of the gate would get it, but that was a really nice job on his part.
Well, I'll say this. I thought it was crafted beautifully. That's a fantastic question because it took me a minute just to think, wow, that's really something to think about. But then Jeff, of course, took all the drama out of it. Way to go, Jeff.
Yes, he
but
did.
Great question. Even better contestant to nail that one. We'll get a break. When we return, Mark Pankratz joins us next. As Sports Talk continues today, brought to you by Body Armor on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Illinois.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. In mere moments, we look forward to connecting with our good friend Mark Pankratz. But, Jimmy, you are at Food City, and folks have still some time to get there, find the keyword to be registered for the big ticket.
Yes, and we have had a number of people that have come up that have stopped to take a look at the number they need to text it to and for the keyword. And so you got to get that keyword to text to 68683. We've had a lot of folks to do that, so I know we're going to have a lot of people into the qualifying with an effort to win the phenomenal prize that are the season tickets to so many different sports, whether it's University of Tennessee sports, Tennessee Titans, or Ice Bears.
And, of course, today's program brought to you by Body Armor. Whatever your goal, only you decide your level of commitment. Body Armor Sports Drink is the choice for today's athletes. No artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. As we mentioned earlier, potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and coconut water to hydrate you while working on your game. Only you can make you better. Body Armor Sports Drink is available at Food City, where today you can win huge prizes with Body Armor purchases and your Food City Value Card. Grand prize winner receives a custom golf cart, and all winners will be announced Friday, September 18th at the Food City 300 race. So stock up on Body Armor today. And Jimmy Hyams, we now head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline for a very special guest and a longtime friend of the program.
Absolutely. Mark Pankratz does a tremendous job. He was a former staff at the University of Tennessee. He was a college player, and he joins us during basketball season. But we wanted to talk to him now because there is some news with Tennessee basketball. Mark, how are you?
I am doing great. I can go for some of that Body Armor drink if it helps my golf game, because my golf game has been terrible. It always has been terrible. So I'm thankful to be with you guys today. I miss you all, seeing y'all. I wish can't wait for basketball season to get here.
Yeah, me too. So E. Pons has decided to come back. I mentioned the other day I thought he needed to improve his offensive game by going from about a 10-point score to 15 or 16. You felt like the scoring would be too divided for him to make that kind of a jump scoring-wise. But what are the things that you think he has to do offensively to become potentially a first-round draft pick?
Well, I think, for one, his skill set, you know, you look at Josh Richardson, right? Josh Richardson's defensive ability was exceptional, which got him in the league and got him looks. And Eves has that defensive ability. Now I think it's that skill set on the offensive end that a pro team can rely in night in, night out. And so what Eves is not proven yet is Can he knock down consistently an open jump shot? Does he have the ability to take somebody off the dribble? You look at a lot of his shots that he makes, it's those mid-post turnarounds, and he just kind of elevates over the top of people. And at that next level, it seems as though these days everybody is 6'7". You know, they all got the long arms. They're all super. And so I think his ability to consistently knock down an open jump shot, and then his consistent ability to be able to put the ball just down on the deck enough to be able to keep the defense honest, and then to be able to make a play for somebody else. But his defense will always have him in the conversation. He just got to improve statistically some of those other skill sets offensively.
He is an elite defender, the reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Josh Richardson, of course, a great defensive player that you mentioned. How are Richardson and Pons different defensively?
Well, I think Eves has the ability to guard more interior guys. I think Josh is better at this at guarding the ball out on the perimeter. Eves is not bad by any means, but Josh is just better at guarding that guy on the perimeter. I think Eves has the ability to clean stuff up on the backside. And I'm not just talking about blocking shots, but he's got the ability to, with athleticism and length, to get over to help a penetration and take a charge. I think Josh, IQ-wise, and coaching staff may over there argue with this, but I think Josh's IQ to be able to read defense may be a little bit better than what Eves is, where his is, even if they're equal, Eves is just raw athleticism, just overcomes any thoughts about that that skill set of the knowledge base. But I think Josh's ability on the ball is the separator.
Mark, great to talk with you again, and it's hard to believe that we didn't get to finish the basketball season last year, and yeah. So our conversations essentially got cut short. But I was just wondering, in terms of what you see with this group, what kind of options do you think that, how many different sets of lineups, options that Rick Barnes now has moving forward into this campaign?
Well, it's funny. I peeled away from work at about 5:40 to start preparing for the call today, and just looking at stuff and started writing down the roster. And gosh, I wish I had more time to just dive into all the different lineups, because you look at, Vescovi as your starting point guard. Well, now you got Bailey, who really, Bailey, the transfer from the Pac-10 or Pac-12 or 20, whatever they are these days, the Bailey, the transfer, he's actually been in longer in the program, although he's not played a second, than any of the other point guards, if you don't consider Josiah James a point guard. And so at point guard, is it Bailey? Is it Vescovi? Is it Jaden Springer? Then you look at the guard position. Now, do one of those guys move down? Does Josiah James play down there? Where does Keon Johnson fit in? People were saying close to the program that he would have been the best defender on the ball if he was on the roster last year as a senior in high school. Ed Gaines has had experience. Pons, does he play solely four or does he play some three? And then you look even inside, Fulkerson, Anisiki, Olivier, Euros. There's just so many different options. That's exciting. And so I think that'll be the biggest. I've said a long time, and there's really good coaches out there that do a great job of coaching talent. There's other coaches that do a better job with coaching less talent. And I think it's a new challenge for Barnes this year to see, okay, what do we do with all this depth, although some of it inexperience, compared to last year when we're talking about, before Vescovi and Euros got eligible, we're thinking, who are we going to put out there tonight? And so it's a new set of challenges, but I'd much rather have all these Jimmys and Joes to be able to put out there to compete than what some of the rosters we've had at times in the past.
What do you think it means for these individuals that now join the program and do so as such a heralded class, but they arrive, they have the chance to earn their playing time, and some folks have already said you can pencil in this guy. I mean, you can go ahead and use pen to say that this guy's going to start or this guy's going to start. But what do you think it means to them in terms of their individual development that they don't have to be thrown in, that we've got to have you on the floor as opposed to making sure they're comfortable with what all is expected from them before they get on the floor?
Well, and you're throwing that in unprecedented times, right? I mean, with school load and is it virtual, all the stuff that people are still working through. Because the other thing about it is I think these teams that have depth, if they end up pushing this season back, right? Like, we don't know what's going to happen, but let's just say they do like football and they push this season back to a January 1 start date. Now with a team like Tennessee, where you've got depth of 11 guys that are super talented, the growth of those guys just by being in practice competing against one another is, I think, an extreme advantage compared to a Kentucky who, again, brings a loaded class, but now they don't have the depth to compete against one another day in, day out in a 5-on-5 type setting. And so I think it's a huge advantage to have this depth going in amidst a season that we could potentially facing with COVID. And so I think these guys have somebody to learn from. I think just like what you saw Vescovi getting that half of a semester, I guess a quarter of a semester under his belt. I mean, I think that experience will pay huge dividends for the season.
Mark, which newcomer, player that didn't play last year, could have been on the roster, which of these newcomers will have the bigger impact, Bailey, Springer, Keon Johnson, or Anasicki?
I'm going to say, being in my world, it's all about expectations. And so I think Bailey has been one that's been easily forgotten. And so I think people forget about him. They don't know about him. Wasn't a five-star type guy. And so I think because the highly touted star rating of Springer and Keon, and then Anasicki being that, fifth-year senior type transfer, I think they have higher expectations on him. So I think it'll be harder for those guys to meet and exceed expectations than it will be for Bailey. So I would say Bailey will be the one that people are most – surprised with. The one thing I love about, and I don't know Anasicki like I know some around Springer and Keon, the thing I love about both those guys and Springer and Keon, again, I don't know what their production will be, but them kids compete, man. They play hard. They fit this mold. They want to be great. They play both ends. And so regardless of stat production, I think we'll be presently pleased with the effort that they give, which will bode well for their development, whether they're here for a year, 2 years, or all four. You got a really good class that's looking forward to competing.
Who have you heard has looked really good during these workouts so far?
I think the guys that that I mentioned with Bailey, I think Josiah being healthy. And Olivia, every time I've seen or talked to people around from a workout standpoint, he's a guy that can impress in workouts. But this time of year, it's just very unique the way that workouts are being set up, and a lot of times things were being done with the gun and managers and guys wearing gloves and just a different environment, and so. I'm excited to just hear them being back out there.
Our guest, Mark Pankratz, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, what do you think, as we talked about with Brent Hubbs, and the discussion is, one, no doubt about it, this is a staff that has shown that they do such a good job in developing their talent, but this has not been the kind of hands-on summer perhaps they're accustomed to. What do you think that does? What kind of impact does that have on an individual's development?
Well, it definitely hinders, but I also think culture wins, right? And so if these guys that have been in the program they recruit the right type of kids that are focused on getting better, I think that bodes well for those programs that have that culture instilled. And it's hard when they're away and you can't be in the gym. There's some slippage there, absolutely. But I think the character traits of these guys wanting to work and wanting to be really good, I think bodes well for their development. And, you know, you look at it, if most teams aren't able to get their guys hands-on, and even for those guys and coaches and programs that can be hands-on, there's players that don't take advantage of their coaches' ability and to develop them or the time that they're willing to spend in developing them. And so I think it boils down to, in the off season, I was always a big believer in, it boils down to, if a kid wants to get better, he's going to find a way to get better. If he doesn't, if he wants to cut corners, if he wants to sleep in, if he wants to be out at night, if he doesn't want to take care of his body, that he's just not going to improve at the rate that he's capable of. And so I think you'll see these players come back and be ready to roll.
Jimmy was asking you earlier about Josh Richardson and Eve Pons in terms of how each plays defense, but I do have to ask you this. What do you think of the blonde tips for Josh Richardson that he's sporting down in the bubble?
Oh, the infamous bubble. I'm excited to see I'm just excited to see some ball again and seeing those guys play. I would tease Josh about the tips, but everybody's got their own look, man, and to each its own.
Mark, when you take a look at the SEC, what would be your top five? We've seen a variety of preseason polls out there. Who do you like in the top five in the SEC in men's basketball?
Well, Tennessee's right up there. I think, with Florida losing Andrew Nembhard to Gonzaga, that hurts. I think Kentucky will be there. I mean, they lost a lot, even with NBA talent, and then Jessun, however you pronounce his name, transferring out west. Arkansas had some guys that were looking. Mason Jones, he's not on the roster. He had declared for the NBA. I know there was that deadline there, but Jimmy, you may know exactly of what that deadline looks like if they can come back without some suspension. But Mason Jones, if he's at Arkansas, that put Arkansas up in the mix. I think, outside of those four, there's some wiggle room. Does Alabama get up there? I think we're all crazy at this point, and we all know them very well, to discount Auburn finding a way to be in the top five. I mean, they lost a ton of talent again, but when you look at, their recruiting class, with Cooper being a five-star and a four-star and a couple of three-stars, I mean, BP, in my opinion, BP does his best job of coaching when his back's up against the wall, and so I wouldn't be surprised to see Auburn find a way to get into that top five.
What about Alabama?
I think Alabama can absolutely get in there. They've their ability and even South Carolina's to sneak up there because of their defense. And, John Petty and Herbert Jones, I think both of those guys are both coming back. And if they're both back and shooting the ball the way that they did and attacking the rim, they're a dangerous team.
Desmond Oliver said he thinks Tennessee has the potential to play in the final game of the year. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'm just hoping that dang final game of the year isn't before the SEC tournament like it was last year. And I'm just hoping we have games at this point. Absolutely. I think the mixture of defense, their scoring ability, their depth, Coach Barnes, I mean, just all of the above, I think they've got a chance to be there. The unknown is, you know, what happens still with some of this draft stuff, what happens with people opting out or not opting out. You know, so I think there's a lot of unknowns. But if you're looking at going into a regular year, absolutely, I think this team could find its way with the right matchups, making a run for the Final Four.
And, Mark, just one quick question, another one about the bubble. What's it like and what do you think it might be like as you see, you know, Kyle Alexander down there with an opportunity, Grant Williams, of course, getting on the floor, Admiral Schofield with the Bullets, Grant Williams. What do you think it is like? And do you think perhaps that we can see Josh Richardson and Tobias Harris help get the 76ers on track, which they haven't been able to do seemingly all season?
Well, I think I love watching the bubble. I get frustrated of people touting their mouth of like, this is what the NCAA needs to do or Major League Baseball needs. The bubble's not reality. And, you know, the SEC or the NCAA or all these other Division IIs, they don't have the financial wherewithal to be testing these guys, you know, every day to be able to keep the virus out of the bubble. So I get frustrated with the bubble. I'm thankful they're doing it. I'm thankful we get live sports. You know, I don't know if the 76ers – I'm not a huge Embiid fan. He doesn't come across to me as a good locker room guy. And so as much as I love Tobias and Josh, I think they're going to struggle. I think you oftentimes ride the emotion of your best player. And I think that's why Tennessee was really good with Admiral and Grant, because their emotion was well intended. I think Joel Embiid's emotion gets them out of sync at times. And so I think it'll be a struggle for the 76ers to ever make that championship run that their talent would say that they're capable of. But regardless of that, it's fun watching these guys play. And I'm so thankful that they get to live out that dream, even though it's not in front of any real fans. It's virtual fans in a bubble. But I'm just thankful to be having some basketball back on the TV as opposed to Disney Plus and every Disney cartoon movie that's been playing in my household for the last 4 months.
I know you're a Disney fan.
much so.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Mark, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. Always good to catch up with you. Stay safe, and we look forward to having you on again on the show in the near future.
Thanks. Same to you guys. God bless everybody out there.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark. Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, we'll get a break and be back with more with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Up next, we'll update what's going on at the first major of the year. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Hey, I'm Ball for Life, Bobby Scott, and we're counting it down. It's just
51 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go home!
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900.
John, updating the scores in the PGA Championship that is being played at Harding Park in San Francisco. Jason Day, the leader, he is in the clubhouse with a 65. That's 5 under par. There are 9 players at 4 under par in the clubhouse, including, among others, Zach Johnson, the 2-time defending champion Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, and Scheffler and Shoffley. So those are among them. There's also a bunch of them at 3-under, including Tony Finau, Daniel Berger, and Gary Woodland, who won the U.S. Open last year. So they're all at 3-under. Tiger Woods shot a 2-under 69, a very, very good score by him. He also was the best golfer in his threesome. That was a featured pairing, which included Rory McIlroy, who shot even par, and Justin Thomas, who was one over par. DJ shot 69. Dustin Johnson was a 69. Colin Morikawa, who's got a win on the tour this year, with a 69. You got Jordan Spieth with a 73. Not playing very well, but that's – and the scores in the morning are better than the afternoon. I have no idea about the conditions, but the morning scores have been much better than the afternoon scores. And, of course, one of the big storylines, Tiger Woods going with a new putter. And According to Curtis Strange, entering this tournament, now again, Tiger Woods this season hasn't played that many rounds. He was ranked 207 in putting. Now, when he was in his prime, he was the best putter in the world. Mm-hmm. But when you're not playing that much, and it's going to take a little bit of a toll in that regard. But anyway, Tiger apparently putted well today. If you shoot 69, I got to think you putted pretty well. And so I would say the change in the putter certainly worked for him today. So we will see what happens tomorrow with that pairing. And also, John, another note, a really good Miami defensive end, Greg Russo, who's projected as a first-rounder. He is another college player that has opted out of playing this season.
Yeah, he has decided to go ahead and prepare for the NFL draft. And it was interesting. Miami's head coach was on a conference call when he got a note that essentially shared the news. So I guess he wouldn't have much time to process and then react to it, but that's a significant blow for Manny Diaz and the Hurricanes.
Yes, it is. I mean, he's one of the best edge rushers in the country. I think I remember Tennessee recruiting him pretty hard. But a really good football player. It's hard to take away I think he's their best defensive player. Maybe I shouldn't say that because I don't know all of their personnel. But he's a heck of a player. He's projected first-round pick. You lose a guy like that, that's a heck of a blow. So another player, and I did not know it until Brendan mentioned this, but Penn State deciding to go forward and play without fans. I wonder how many teams in the Big Ten are going to go in that direction ultimately. I'll be curious to see how many do it. We've already heard some of them talk about, 10%, 20%, 25%, but it's a long time between now and the first game of the season. So some of these projections and talking about what they're going to do could be potentially altered. And another thing, how about this one? Louisville has dismissed three soccer players who held a party. Okay, I think you're going to see more and more athletes, if they do not abide by the regulations, whether it's social distancing, wearing a mask, throwing a party, doing that kind of stuff, I think you may see more and more of them punished. Now, But the interesting thing is, will it depend on the sport? So if you kick three football players off for doing that, I don't know what the backlash would be compared to kicking off three soccer players. So I wonder about that. I think that's going to be curious to see, because you know that Louisville's not the only place where athletes have had parties.
Right.
So maybe it's about getting caught, or maybe it's about the sport. I don't know. Or maybe it's just about Louisville has given you multiple warnings and you still didn't abide by it. So maybe that's it. Maybe this isn't maybe this is a second or third chance for these athletes. I don't know. There are other factors that could be in play here. But I thought that was pretty strong. I don't know. You might, but I don't know of any other college that has dismissed any athletes for holding a party or violating COVID-19 type regulations out there.
That's the first I've heard. And but like you say, I'll be surprised if that's the last. When you take a look at what we see in terms of what's available for student athletes, there's also never been more to get tripped up by. It could be how you handle yourself on social media, especially when you consider the significance and the uniqueness of what everyone's going through. And when you look at the college campus setting, I just think that, like you said, that there's it wouldn't be surprising at all to hear that Louisville had said to its student athletes, we know you're college students, but you can't attend parties, you can't go to parties, and you certainly can't have parties. So no. You just wonder whether or not they set the straight and narrow, and these did not abide.
Well, I think I got the answer to that. Louisville said that the three dismissed players had previously violated team rules. Okay, so it's three Louisville men's soccer players dismissed from the program, and three others have been suspended after the school found they had held a party last week that resulted in 29 positive tests for COVID-19 and required four other programs to temporarily suspend workouts. We mentioned the four programs yesterday that were being suspended. Football was not one, but that had been suspended. And so the Louisville soccer coach talked about how extremely disappointed he was in the young men that did that, particularly with the three that have been dismissed. They have demonstrated with their actions now and previously that they do not echo the culture of this program. Our student athletes are held to a high standard of conduct as representatives of our program and university, close quote. So, and then the athletic director said that the party represented a clear violation of the school's code of conduct and that he fully supported the decision to discipline all six dismissed, three suspended. They paused workouts for men's and women's soccer, field hockey, and volleyball after the multitude, the 29 student athletes, tested positive. Louisville's men's basketball team had paused workouts earlier in the summer.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. Again, the program today brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor. Body Armor, an incredible partner through the years, and they continue to do their very best to help you be the best you can be. It is a fantastic beverage. And, Jimmy, you think about all that it – I mean, it's not easy to step into an established industry like sports drinks, but Body Armor came out of the gate with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. They came at it the right way, with the science on their side, potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and coconut water to get you hydrated while working on your game. So it's been great to be partners with them as we have through the years now. And, of course, this is a perfect time to use your Food City Value card and buy any Body Armor product, because you do that and you'll have a chance to win a Body Armor Blaney golf cart.
And we've seen a number of people walking out of the Food City where I am at Love's Creek with Body Armor. So... good for them, and hopefully they went in and signed up for a chance to win that golf cart. Man, would I love to have a golf cart. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Back to close out today's edition of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
If you smell something, that's probably us. We are 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. Today we're brought to you by Body Armor. Jimmy Hyams at Food City on Loves Creek Road. And if you had found out the key word, you have to get that text in to 68683 before the end of the program. So, Jimmy, they're now officially under the wire.
Yes, so make sure you come by. There's still some people that are walking over here to Food City in front of me, so hopefully they'll come by and register. To kind of recap today, so... a lot of speculation that Tennessee in football, that the two future opponents, the crossovers, will be Texas A&M and LSU as opposed to Ole Miss and LSU. That is not official. We will see if that indeed is what happens. Tennessee gets a preferred walk-on kicker from Martin, Tennessee, a really, really good kicker, and a guy that might have a chance to have a shot at the job after Brent Simaglia departs. Tiger Woods with an opening round, 2-under-68. Jason Day's the leader in the clubhouse right now with a 5-under score at the PGA Championships. We've also got Desmond Oliver saying he believes that Tennessee has the potential to be playing in the last game of the season. He also really likes Eve Pond, said he is one of the best defensive players in the nation. So, I don't think too many people would disagree with that. And couple of baseball notes I didn't get to earlier, but John, there have been a couple of seven-inning doubleheaders that were played yesterday. The Yankees and Phillies split, had another home run from Aaron Judge, who tied a team record for most home runs after 10 games with seven. And then the Marlins break them up. The only way you're going to break them up, I guess, is with COVID-19. They swept Baltimore 1-0 and 2-1. They allowed one run in three games against the Orioles. They are now 5-1. That ties for the best start in team history. And Mike Trout, as a dad, has had 7 at-bats and 3 home runs.
Wow.
I think he's pretty good.
Yeah. I think he's got a chance to stick with the Angels for a year or two.
One of these days. Yeah, one of these days he might make it. And he's hit more home runs, I think, against Seattle than any team that he has played. It's like 40-something home runs, but more home runs against Seattle than any other team. Seattle still got the win. But, boy, he's just unbelievable. The Cubs off to a great start. They're 10-2, so good for them as they're on a roll. The Braves are off to a really good start as well. And then A couple of the NBA notes. If you missed it, Ben Simmons, dislocated kneecap. He is out indefinitely. So we'll see what happens with him. And the Memphis Grizzlies, a bad restart. They're 0-4 in the restart. They're 4-11 since the All-Star game. So they have struggled as well. And then the ACC. These are the non-conference games for the ACC, and I'm sure they were hoping for a little bit better than this. The first game is going to be September the 10th, UAB against Miami. But Liberty is going to be on the schedule for three opponents from the ACC. The other teams include, among others, is Samford. There's Virginia Military Institute, Western Michigan, Western Kentucky, Ohio, Miami, Ohio, and Charlotte. Those are in Old Dominion and Central Florida. Those are the opponents that ACC teams are playing in the non-conference in their plus-one situation. So, again, I think they were hoping for a little bit better than that, but I think that's what they had to settle for. I'm also interested, I wonder about this, I'm interested to know what they had to pay these teams. I wonder if it's a little bit less than what the going rate had been for these, quote, buy games.
Yeah, that's a great question. We've seen a lot of notes today from Brett McMurphy, as he's thrown out a lot of college football scheduling updates. But you make a great point. What are those costs like? How different is it this year? For instance, UNLV or Iowa State, they were scheduled to play this year. That game's been moved to 2030. Southern Miss has moved the season opener against South Alabama to September 3rd. They've added home games with Tennessee Tech September 19th and Tulane September 26th. Houston Baptist is getting $400,000 from Texas Tech to play in Lubbock this year. And Middle Tennessee and Troy have agreed to play a home-and-home series this season. They'll play in Murfreesboro on September 5th or September 19th. They'll play at Troy November 21st. So wow, it's really something to see all of these schedules as they try to get everything settled and set.
And here's one of my great fears about college football. With a lot of these games being played early, and I have no idea about all the protocols and testing, if we have significant outbreaks, it could have a significant impact on everybody. If you see
very
a bunch of outbreaks,
so
what's the SEC going to do? What's the Pac-12 going to do? What's the Big Ten going to do? I just hope that in playing some of these games early, we don't see a whole lot of positive tests out there. We don't see a whole lot of teams that have to shut it down because they had 15 or 20 people that tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, because as Brent Hubbs was highlighting, exactly what's expected in terms of testing, 72 hours before you compete, and that can certainly wreck a season, and not just for one team, but for essentially everybody.
Yes. So,
Jimmy Himes, always appreciate it. It's been great to have you out at Food City.
Great to be here at Food City, and we've had a good time.
That does it for Sports Talk.